Bible, if you will, and I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Now, we have been studying the topic of growth, and tonight we're going to study it again. This would be lesson number 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And you could stand, if you would, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We're going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter, and it's going to tell us a story. Again, the lesson on growth tonight. The Bible says this, 2 Chronicles 6:1. Then said Solomon, "The Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever." And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken, for I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel." Now, look at verse number 10, the first part of the verse there. It says, "For the Lord therefore hath performed his word." Look back at me, if you will. In a moment, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this story. But here the Bible says that the word of the Lord was performed. Now, I want to show you a verse. Well, you don't have to turn to it. Let me turn to it. I'll make it a little easier on it. In Acts chapter 19, verse 20, it uses these words, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." More than one time in the book of Acts, it mentions that the word of God grew. You say, the word of God grew? I'll explain it, but let me pray. Holy Spirit of God, control my thinking. Help us tonight as we study this important subject. Control each of our minds so that we might grow because of it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Twice in the book of Acts, it uses the word or the words that the word of God grew. Now, if someone said to you, "Hey, I know your pastor, Pastor Owens, and I've noticed he's growing," more than likely it would be because of the Krispy Kreme raspberry-filled donuts that I ate. When it talks about the word of God growing, it doesn't mean that the word of God gained weight. Okay? It means that it gained influence. You can't improve on the Word of God, but you can improve on man with the Word of God. And when it talks about the Word of God growing, it's talking about its influence grew. You can't improve, you can't better, you can't do better than the Word of God. But man can do better with the Word of God. And what happened is, in the book of Acts, in the New Testament Church of Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, the Word of God was growing, meaning it was expanding, and it was influencing, and so it was growing, if you will. Now, we read a moment ago from 2 Chronicles chapter 6. This passage is spoken by, or probably a sermon preached, by Solomon. Solomon was the son of David. David, many years before, had wanted to build a temple in which to put the Ark of the Covenant, and it had been a dream of David's to do so. David loved the Lord, and he said, "You know what, I want to build a magnificent temple, and I want it to be a lighthouse for the Lord." But God wouldn't let David build that temple, probably because of David's reputation as a warrior. David shed a lot of blood in his years defending God and God's word. And God said, David, I don't think I'm going to have you be the one to build that temple. We're going to build it. I think I'll let your son Solomon build it. And that was God's choice. And so that's what happened. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we hear Solomon preaching a sermon telling the story. And the temple is now completed. So David wanted to, but God didn't let David. But God did want the temple to be built. And God said, we'll let your son Solomon do it. And Solomon built that temple. And now Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 is talking about this whole process. And now he speaks of the fulfillment of this dream. And in 2 Chronicles 6:10, it said, the Lord therefore hath performed his word. Wow. He performed his word. In other words, there's something God wants to accomplish with his word. He would like the word of God to perform in your life too. You know, God wants to do a performance in your life. You say a performance? Oh yeah. You say a performance, you go and look, and at the end there's a standing ovation and everybody's excited about the performance. Uh-huh. Yeah, God wants to do something in your life. He wants the Word of God to perform in your life, and in the end, there ought to be a standing ovation about the power of God and its impact on your life and how it changed your life. It's like the Word of God is like a high-performance vitamin. It will give you the spiritual health that you need. How would you like to increase your performance of the Word of God? How about increasing the performance of the Word of God in your mind? Like a high-performance engine. Now, you ladies, that might not interest you, but most men like their vehicle, car, to have some get up and go. I mean, you can even go buy an economy car, and a guy will get in and say, it ain't got much pep. Well, hey, you bought it. It looks like a roach on wheels. What did you expect? But it still means something to him. And you ladies will hear a man stand around, one guy's talking about his truck, and another guy's talking about his truck, says, yeah, a lot of horsepower under that hood, and that's a deal. You know something? The Word of God is a high-performance engine, and if you'll let it, it can really get the job done in your body, in your mind, and in your life. Listen to these verses. 1 Kings 6:12 says, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee. Wow, what a promise. My word is going to do a number on you. That's what it means. My word is going to perform in your life. Have you ever, and I think everybody here has, but let me ask it. You ever seen God's word perform in your life? Where you were banking on it and you were trusting it and you threw yourself into it and believed it and God performed. I mean, he pulled it off and you're going, wow. God said if I would do this, he would do this, and I did, and he did, and wow, it worked. That's God performing in your life. His word performing in your life. Ezekiel 12 verse 25 says, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. And it shall be no more prolonged for in your days, O rebellious house, which I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord. There it is again. God, in the book of Acts, used the term that the word of God grew. And that doesn't mean, remember, it wasn't that the word of God was expanding, but man was expanding because of the word of God. That's what it meant. Now, in the Old Testament, it uses the term the word of God is performing in someone's life. Psalm chapter 57 verse 2 says, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things in me. I had a lady come to me once and she said, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I keep failing at my Christian life. She said, you tell me, I'll mention to someone, I just wish I'd get closer to the Lord, and they'll say, read the word. And she said, and you'll tell me the Bible's the key. She said, is there any way that you could tell me a little better about this read the word stuff so it can help me? She said, because, you know, I've been around church enough now, and anybody I talk to about a struggle or anything, they'll say, get into the Bible and read the word. And she said, I agree. She said, but, you know, that answer, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, she said, but you got any more to that answer than read the word? She said, I want it to make a difference in my life, and I'll grab it and read it. She said, but I'm not. Am I missing something? Is there a way I'm supposed to read it? And then she asked, she said, what can I do to grow along with this word of God that I'm reading? I want to know. She said, I'm kind of tired of being backslidden and feel like I'm always running behind in my Christianity. She said, I always feel like I'm running behind. She said, you'll get up and say, there's some of you in here backslidden. She said, I've been coming to your church for 3 years and I felt backslidden for 52 weeks a year now. She said, and I think I'm about to catch up and something else comes out of that book and I'm running behind again and thinking, oh brother, I thought I just got unbackslidden and it's been 7 days and I'm backslidden again already. And I said, well, let me see if I can help you. I'm going to give you, and I said to this lady, I'm going to give you something that's going to help you to grow in regard to the Word of God. She said, that's what I want to do. I said, it's going to be so simple, but it will grow you in regard to the Word of God. My sermon tonight is this, how to get God's Word to grow in your life. Oh, now, remember, God's Word does not expand. But it can expand its influence on you. Now, if you'll listen to me, I'm going to give you a way. And I challenge you. I dare you to try what I teach you. And if you will do what I teach you, both God and the preacher, and my promise isn't worth much, but God's promise is, God will promise He'll grow you. You say, I want to grow. Okay, try this. And it all has to do with the reading of the Word of God. Number one, the first step is to read it with your eyes if you want to grow in your life. Read the Bible with your eyes. I'm going to read to you. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It says in 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. It's talking about the Bible. It is very important that we read the Word of God. And I'm saying it the way I am on purpose. You need to read it with your eyes. Right. Read the Word of God with your eyes. In a little while, I'll tell you to listen to it some. But let me tell you, I don't think listening to it alone is enough because we're commanded to read it with our eyes. I remember when our children were small, Mrs. Owens was given the opportunity to teach kindergarten at our Christian school. And it was a really big deal to her. They could have probably offered her to teach any level of school, but when they offered her kindergarten, she was just so thrilled. And I couldn't figure out why. I don't know if she just liked recess time with the kindergartners or snack time or whatever, but she was pumped. I said, honey, why? She said, for most of these children, I will be the person that will teach them to read the Word of God. She taught every one of my children the basics for reading before they ever went to school. I said, why? She said, I want to be the mama that teaches my kids to read the Word of God. I want to do that before anybody else gets to them. I thought, wow. And that was such a big deal. Let me say to everybody in here, your children learning to read is a real big deal. If for no other reason, they need to learn to read the Word of God because they're commanded to do that. And there are people, if you struggle in your reading, I'll guarantee you, you would say in your heart, I wish I would have learned it a little better when I was younger because now I want to read the Word of God. And it's not as easy for me as what I wish it was. You see, God's Word is powerful. It's the answer. It's the answer, you say, to what? To anything and everything that troubles us. Now remember this. I say, if you want the Word of God to grow in your life, you read it with your eyes. See, your eyes work like a camera. Your eyes take photographs of what you see. Your mind then develops the negative. You need to fill the photo album of your mind with pictures of the Word of God. You're to read it. Read your Bible. We sing the song, and sometimes at the bus meeting, we'll sing a song. We sing the song, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, 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 and you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Forget to read and forget to pray. Forget to pray, forget to pray. Forget to read and forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. We know that song. But the truth is, you need to read the Bible with your eyes if the Bible is going to grow in your life, if it's going to perform in your life. I'll promise you something. If you're away from God, then you're away from reading His Word. They always go hand in hand. Nobody reads the Bible for 2 hours a day, you know, 365 days a year, and finds themselves deep, dark, backslidden in their behavior. Those two things don't go hand in hand. A lack of reading the Bible shows a lack of spirituality. Okay, so you say, I want the Word of God to grow in my life, or I want the Word of God to grow me, then you read it with your eyes. I think now you'll begin to understand why I emphasize read it with your eyes, number two. Next, it won't hurt you if you speak it while you read it with your eyes. 2 Samuel 23, verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. I want to recommend that if you say, preacher, I have a hard time getting anything out of my Bible, I don't feel like I'm growing in my Bible reading, read it with your eyes, and why don't you read it out loud? Read it, let it affect your lips, let it affect your tongue, let it affect your vocal cords. Read it out loud. You say to who? To yourself. Now some of you, you call it speed reading. It's actually space out reading. You don't get anything out of your Bible because you're staring at those words, but they're not calculating while you read. If you slow down and read it out loud to yourself, you're probably going to get more out of it. Now if you say, I read it silently in my mind and I'm getting plenty, okay, but most people are not getting plenty. They'll have even a devotional time and they'll walk away from it and say, I can't remember a thing that I read. And our whole goal is not just to read it to say that we did, but to read it and get something out of it so that the Word of God can perform in our life. So the Word of God can grow us. So, read it out loud. Let your mouth say what your eyes see. Your mouth is like a PA system. Let it increase the volume of the influence of God's Word in your life. Let God's Word be turned up. Speak out loud the Word of God, and it will help it to grow in your life. Say it. Speak it. The more ways His Word is allowed to affect you, the more it will grow in your life. So, I say, read it with your eyes, speak it with your tongue and your lips. You say, why? We're trying to get you to grow because of the Word of God. Now, number three, listen to what you say and see. You realize that there's some of you can read with your eyes but not hear a thing that's being said? I wish you'd pay attention to what I just said. You read with your eyes, but you don't listen to what you were saying. But if you would read it with your eyes, speak what you see, and listen to what you say that you see, it's going to begin to affect you. And some of you young people, you're failing school. You'll read a chapter and then they'll test you. And you don't have any of the answers. Because you're not growing because of what you're reading. There is a technique that will make you a successful reader. And I'm sorry if this is too simple, but folks, I know this works. You read it with your eyes, you say what your eyes are reading, then you listen to what your eyes are reading, which is requiring your mouth to speak, and it's getting into your brain that way. So hear what you say you're seeing. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, it says, but He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. The word blessed there means happy. Now, you're not going to be happy with in your Christian life unless you're growing and you're obeying the Scripture. What are we trying to do? I'm trying to help the Word of God to perform in your life. Again, there are all sorts of people in here. You read the Bible all the time, but you really walk away and you're minimally influenced, and it might be by the way you're reading it. See it with your eyes, read the words with your lips, and then listen with your own ears to what's coming out of your own mouth that your own eyes are reading. I'm going to promise you, you're going to start getting more out of it. You're going to start growing as a result. Of course, your mouth reads it out loud. Your ears will hear it. What a blessing that your ears are hearing the Word of God. You know, did you know that your ears are like a recording studio? They take in sounds. They send the sounds to the calculator or that memory bank in your brain. And your brain virtually puts on log everything that your eyes have seen, then duplicates it if your mouth says it, then duplicates it again if your ears hear it. Huh, what would happen if the Scripture was written in your mind once and then again, it might be that you could remember. Do you know why I repeat myself a lot when I preach? Because most of you didn't get it the first time. Or the second time. Or the third time. I feel very good if I walk away from a sermon. I may have said the same thing a dozen times, but people walk away and say, I know what that sermon was about. Why? Because you listened to, you know, all of it? No. You heard the primary statement about a dozen times, and finally I got it through your thick head. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith may be weak because you're not hearing enough of His Word. You say, well, I'm coming to church, and you're loud and clear, and I'm not just talking about that. What would happen is if your faith was being built because of you. Well, here it says it comes by hearing. Well, who are you going to hear read the Word of God? Well, probably going to have to be you. And for you to hear you, you've got to see it, then speak what you see, then listen to what you say. And then you're going to be able to have the Word of God grow and perform in your life. Let the Word of God grow you through your ears. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with you listening to Scripture on CD. But may I recommend that if you can read, I think you ought to be seeing it with your eyes, saying it with your mouth, and listening to it with your ears. Alexander Scorby, reading it to you is okay, but I can do you one better. You read it to you. You say, I like the sound of his voice. You might want to like the sound of your own voice. Because he is the one that's seeing it with his eyes, and he is the one that's saying it with his lips, but you are hearing it with your ears. You're only getting one third of the impact thus far that's made available. But if you see it with your eyes and say it with your lips and hear it with your ears, you're getting a triple bonus of the Word of God. And the whole goal is not that just you read it and could say that you did, but that it performs in your life or that it changes your life. The Word of God can grow you, but God said you got to read it. You say, ah, that's simple. Well, then why don't we do it? The Scripture over and over again says, look at it, say it, hear it, and the person that can most frequently make sure that happens in your life is you. Number four. Next. Write it. Write the Word of God. There's nothing that would stop you from writing Scripture. Young people, those of you that go to the Christian school and they want you to memorize Scripture, can I tell you one of the best ways to memorize it? And in a moment, I'll even get to memorizing it, but let me tell you, if you'll see it with your eyes, if you'll speak it with your mouth, if you'll hear it in your ear, and you'll write it, you're going to come far closer to remembering that Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9 says, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. Here it's talking about the posting of the Word of God. Proverbs 3:3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the tables of thine heart. If you don't want to forsake His Word, it wouldn't hurt you to write it. Do you know you use your motor skills to write? Now, you say, preacher, I really do want the Word of God to grow me and make an impact on my life. Well, wonder if we could have the Word of God make an impact on your eyes, then an impact on your lips, then an impact on your tongue, and then an impact on your ears, and then on your hands, where you write it. Writing exercises your motor nerves or your motor senses. Let the Word of God affect your hands. You say, you think I ought to write the Word of God? I'll tell you, there's some of you, you would be better off reading a verse out loud, listening to everything you read, and writing it about 20 times. You'd be better off doing that for your devotion than some of you that read your Bible and read 20 chapters, walk away from it, and don't remember a single thing, didn't pick up a thing from it. You take a verse or four or five verses and you read them out loud and you read them and hear them and concentrate on them and write them. You'll walk away saying, you know what? I remember what I just wrote. I remember being taught that way. One day my teacher said, Jeff Owens, stay after class. She said, sit down at that desk right there. She said, take out three or four pieces of paper. She said, take your pencil. She said, you write on your piece of paper what I write on the board. And it said, I will not talk during class, period. She said, write it. I said, no problem. I will not talk during class. She said, write it again. I will not talk during class. Write it again. I will not talk during class. She said, write it again. I will not talk during class. She said 100 times, and when you've written it 100 times, you bring it up here and then you may go. I will not talk during class. I will not talk during class. When I got done, I handed her the paper. She folded up. She said, what does this paper say? I said, ma'am, it says I will not talk during class. She said, do you understand what that means? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what does that mean? I said, it means I will not talk during class. She said, do you think it means it today? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, do you think it means that tomorrow? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, do you think it means that forever? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, so tomorrow, what will be your protocol? She said, and I said, I will not talk during class. She said, Mr. Owens, you may go home. I came into school the next day. She said, do you remember you and I having a meeting after school? I said, I will not talk during class. It worked. Do you know what some of you need to do? You need to take a scripture that would take care of some of your spiritual weaknesses, and you need to look at it with your eyes, speak it with your mouth, listen to it with your ears, and write it. 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 You say, I don't have the strength to obey it. Babe, you're probably not even looking at it. You're probably not even saying it or hearing it. Mrs. Owens, when I proposed to her, she was like any other young lady. Now, she didn't get married when she was 14. She was an adult lady, but I proposed to her, and I was at her home visiting one day, and I seen a pad of paper near the telephone book, and she had written on that pad of paper, Mrs. Sherry Tracy Owens. And then again, Mrs. Sherry Tracy Owens. Now, we weren't even married yet, but she was writing that. You say, why? It's what she wanted to become. She wanted to become my wife. And she was writing her name no longer as her maiden name, but she was writing it as her married name. Can I tell you something? What do you want to become? You say, I want to be a good Christian. See it with your eyes. Speak it with your mouth. Listen with your ears. And on some things, write it with your hands. And you'll grow. I challenge you to try it. Now see, there's some of you, and there's some of you been in the church for years. There's some of you young people that grew up in the church. You're bored stiff with Christianity. It's been a long time since you think you've grown at anything. What kind of relationship do you have with the Word of God? I challenge you to try what I'm telling you. Number five. Next, repeat it. Repeat it. Do you know how many times the Apostle Paul said, I come to you again? And the Lord said, I come to you again, and again, and again, and again. Do you know that in this church, even prior to my becoming pastor, I believe that the previous pastor preached some of the same doctrines to you over and over and over and over again. And there are some of you that have some very deep, strong beliefs about those doctrines, and it's because they were repeated. There are some of you, you've heard a particular doctrine preached one time, and you're not as valiant about that doctrine as you are some of the others, and it's not because one is more important than the other, it's because you heard one more than the other, and it's become more your belief. Repetition. Repetition is the key to learning. And to everybody in here that's a teacher, repetition is the key to teaching. You want to be a good teacher? You say it over and over and over and over again. You know what I believe? I could probably give a test right now to everybody in this room, including some of the younger children, and they could probably tell you my outline. See it, speak it, hear it, write it. Why? I've said it about 12 times. That's the best way for people to learn. I'll tell you this also. If we leave here and you don't do it, it's not going to be because I didn't thoroughly mention it to you. Repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is the key to teaching. Great teachers are people who are willing to repeat great truths, even if somebody says, oh, you're shallow. Call me shallow if you want. I want my people to know. I want them to know the difference. I want them to know what to do. Don't be ashamed of being repetitive. Every parent here, you want some good parenting skills? Find out what's right and repeat it. And repeat it. And repeat it. And all of you saying, yeah, I have to whether I want to or not. And repeat it. You say, how long do you repeat it till they get it? Matter of fact, there'll be some things you're going to start saying to them when they're born, and you're going to say it until they're walking down the aisle at graduation. But repeat it, and repeat it, and repeat it. Great learners are people who are willing to repeat to themselves what they need to repeat. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. But it says, sing them over, and over, and over. I say to you, repeat it. There's a lot of different ways to read your Bible, and you can read your Bible any way that you want. But I'll tell you something, it wouldn't hurt some of you to take a chapter that's about 10 verses long and read it 10 times in one day, opposed to reading 10 chapters and walking away saying, I don't remember a thing. But if you read one chapter 10 times and you repeated it and you looked at it with your eyes and you said it with your lips and you heard it with your ears, wouldn't even hurt you to write a little bit of it. I'll guarantee you the repeating of it is going to help you to retain, and the retention is going to mean growth, and you're going to watch the Word of God begin to perform in your life. Let me go on. I got to hurry. Get this. Remember it. Can you imagine God wanting you to remember it? He wants you to remember it. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, what's God saying? Bible memorization will keep you from sinning against God. Why? Because it has become a part of you. Can I tell you the best way to memorize? You look at with your eyes, you say it with your lips, you listen to it with your ears, you write it with your hands, and I've got news for you. You repeat it, and then you repeat it, and then you repeat it. You want to memorize a verse? Everybody knows. You had to look at it. It's best to say it. It's best to hear it. It's best to write it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it, and it'll become a part of you. Everybody in here that have scriptures that come to your mind and they help you and you quote them, this is probably how you got there. And those scriptures dominate your life. Some of you have scriptures that virtually dominate the principles and the way you live your life, but you probably got it into your head this way. And it said, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What is that? That's the word of God growing and performing in your life. The word of God will keep you away from sin. You see, your mind's like a computer. You got to program it. There's terminology. I don't know if they use it much anymore, but they used to say garbage in, garbage out. In other words, you put garbage in your computer. You call up something on the screen, garbage is going to come out of your computer. But that means purity in, purity out. Guess what? If I put the Word of God in, then when I need it, the Word of God can be kicked out in my thinking. Listen to this. 1 John 2:14 says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. Now, the word abideth, you know what that means? It lives there. It lives there. It stays there. And then it says, and ye have overcome the wicked one. In other words, if you can get the Word of God in you, staying there, you are more apt to overcome Satan. Listen to it again. It says, I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, part of growth, a major part of growth, is overcoming the wicked one. A major part of growth is overcoming temptation. A major part of growth is fighting wrong. And here it said, you've got to get it to the point that the Word of God is abiding in you. The word abide is where we get the word abode, and your abode is where you live, and you want the Word of God living inside you. Not just visiting through a quick glance, living there. How are you going to do that? You see it with your eyes and take a picture of it. You say it with your lips and it gets recorded. You hear it with your ears and it's placed into your memory bank. You write it with your hands and your motor skills have now, it's just etching it into your mind. You repeat it and the etching gets deeper and deeper. Now suddenly it's inside you and it's a part of you. And then you're going to remember it. Now, may I say this? and remember this. The Word of God, it wants to perform in your life. It wants to grow in your life. The Word of God grew in the book of Acts. Remember, the Word of God did not expand, but its influence on the people expanded. That's what we want. How to get the Word of God to grow in our lives. I'm teaching you that through its reading. Then, there's an obvious one. Live it. Live it. Luke 4:4 says, And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you want God to grow in your life, then you need to live His word. Obey it. Trust it. We sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust Him, obey. What's it talking about? Believe it. You live it, you believe it. Living it is going to come better if you read it, say it, hear it, write it, repeat it, and memorize it. I think the teenagers were working on a song. I heard my wife practicing it on the piano, but there's a powerful song out there, and you've heard it here at the church before. I think the adult choir sang it many years ago, called God's Word Changes Lives. Oh, and it does. But you need to live it. Now, stay with me. I've got one more point and then a half a point, okay? Next, teach it. Teach it. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now you want to teach. You've gone through this process. You've read it. You've repeated it. You've got all this going for you. What do I do next? Teach it. You say, why? Somehow, teaching seals the deal. Did you know you learn more by teaching than by being taught? Teaching requires a little extra understanding. Living it requires understanding, but boy, when you teach it, there's just a little extra that's needed. Teaching is in itself self-learning. You know who needs to know the most about a topic in the classroom? Usually it's a pretty good idea if it's a teacher. Now, I graduated with honors from Bible college. What is there? Sigma cum laude? Is that how you say that? I couldn't spell it, but I graduated with honors. And I can tell you how I did it. You know, I took 3x5 cards. I took notes in my classes, and the things that I thought would be on the test, I wrote them. I looked at them. I said them over and over again. I listened and concentrated on them, and I repeated them. And I mean, I repeated and I repeated and I repeated. I tried to put into practice what I was learning. And here's what I did. Every night, I would go to work. And my machine was right by another man's machine. And as long as we were being productive, the boss let us talk. And I asked his permission. I told him, I said, you know, you want us to be quiet at work? He said, nah, you guys go ahead and talk about anything you want. As long as you're pumping out the parts, go for it. You know what I'd do? I'd go to work at night and I'd say to this guy, can I tell you what I learned at college today? He said, sure. And I would repeat to him what I'd written on my study cards, and I taught it. And he would say, well, what about this? And I'd say, well, I think on my card it said, if he asked, what about this, the answer's this. And I'd say, the answer's this. He said, oh, that's remarkable. Now, some of you parents, you do what I'm teaching you, then you teach it to your children. And by the way, that's what Scripture teaches. Right. Sunday school teachers, you do what you're being taught, then you teach what you were learning. And then with anybody, you want to grow in the Lord, start telling people what you're learning. Now, you know, it takes just a little bit more to be able to articulate what you have been learning. You have to learn it just a little better. So, take what you learn. Teach it. Take what you learn in your Bible reading. Teach it to somebody. Discuss it with somebody. And then as a result, you'll see God's Word grow in your life. Acts 9:20 says, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Hey, and it says mightily. You say, that's what I'm looking for. I've got minimal influence in my life. I want mighty influence. Then if you'll follow this process, did you know His Word can, there are ways to get it to work even more quickly in your life? Listen to Psalm 147, verse 15. He sendeth forth His commandment, that's His Word, upon the earth. His Word runneth very swiftly. Wow. Here it says His Word can travel fast. Now, it's like bad news. Boy, can bad news travel fast, especially in this day and age. But here it's talking about His Word. You know what I'd like? I'd like His Word to travel quickly into me, and let's get this thing going. Let's conquer. Let's succeed. You know, when you take a medicine, they're always trying to figure out ways to get it in you and in your system quickly. You talk about a good medicine. The Word of God is a healer. God's Word can do big things. You have to let it. If you won't limit God, He won't limit you. You've heard this before, but it's worth saying right here. What you do with God's Word is what will determine what God will do with you. What you do with God's Word will determine what God can do with you. So, if you are a little bit like the lady that said to me, you say read it, and I do, but I don't get what the big deal is, and I'm going to be honest, it's not really making that big of a difference in me that I can tell. She said, can you add anything to reading it? I said, I think I can. And I said, read it with your eyes. Say it with your lips. Hear it with your ears. Write it with your hand. Repeat it. Remember it. Live it. Believe it. Teach it. And by then, it is performing. I promise it'll be performing by that point. You'll find out. Usually it is the case in the church, the people that see the Word of God working most powerfully in their lives are the ones that are teaching it. But there's a process that will get you there. I want you to grow in regard to the Word of God's influence just from your reading it. That'll help you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're unsaved, we welcome you to the Savior tonight. If you're already saved and you say, you know, you say read the Bible, I'm not real sure I'm being impacted by it. I've helped you tonight if you'll obey what's been taught. Who here would raise their hand so God could see it and say, you know, that's good. I can put that into practice. I feel like God's spoken to my heart tonight about how to get His Word to grow in me more. I can follow those simple instructions. Would you raise your hand and let God see it and say, yeah, I could do more of that. You may put your hand down. We'll have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, you're welcome to come. And for whatever reason, the pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you've not been reading your Bible, you're going to have to read it. But if you're reading it, you might need to add some of these things to it. You know what? If you're at home and you're reading it out loud and it seems to be disruptive, find a private place to do it. Some of you at school, if you'd read this way, you're going to do better at school too. I'm a little embarrassed about the simplistic way that I've given this to you tonight, but I really think It may be simple, but I think it's probably more powerful than what we realize. How to get the Word of God to grow in your life. Grow because of your just really simply reading it. And you parents, you insist that your children learn their English, their phonics. You insist that they learn to read, if for no other reason, so they can read the Word of God. And you young people need to learn to read. And let's not get so caught up in all the technologies of our day that we leave out some of the simple things like reading, writing, and arithmetic. I love all the technology, but you better get the basics down, because without the basics, you're going to be dumber than what you think. And especially will you be in regard to your spirituality. I'm glad you have a calculator, but it wouldn't hurt you to learn how to add and subtract without one. And I'm glad you have a mechanism that can read to you, but it would be very wise for you to see it with your eyes, speak it with your lips, hear it with your ears, analyze it, repeat it, Super. Thank you, Mrs. Young. Folks, have a seat there real quick.